Well, switching gears, the Oscar Best Picture nominee Hidden Figures tells the stories of three African-American women who worked as mathematicians in the early years of NASA. Despite facing obstacles of race and gender, all three managed to play crucial roles in the space program. Here's a scene from the film with Taraji P. Henson and Kevin Costner.
You think you can find me the Frenet frame for this data? Using the Gram-Schmidt...
orthogonalization algorithm? Yes, sir. I prefer it over Euclidean coordinates.
The movie has received acclaim for illuminating a little-known chapter of space exploration. Science writer Dava Sobel's latest book also shines light on a neglected chapter in the history of science. It's the story of women who worked at the Harvard College Observatory in the late 19th and early 20th centuries. As white women, they didn't suffer the indignities of racism that the women of Hidden Figures did, but they did struggle with low pay and sexism. Despite obstacles, their analysis and cataloging of the stars deepened our understanding of the nature of the universe. Dava Sobel's book is The Glass Universe, How the Ladies of the Harvard Observatory Took the Measure of the Stars, and she joins us to talk about it. Welcome to Here and Now.
Happy to be here.
Dava, your previous books explored neglected chapters of history, including Longitude and Galileo's Daughter. What first got you interested in this story in particular?
I was interviewing astronomer Wendy Friedman, who was working on a Hubble telescope key project about the expansion rate of the universe. And she mentioned the name Henrietta Leavitt as someone whose work had been crucial to the current research. And I'd never heard of her. And when I went to learn more about Miss Leavitt, I discovered she was working in a room full of women at Harvard. And Harvard is not a place one associates with early advances by women. This would have been the very early 1900s. Mm. And then the things that the women got to do were important and are still in use today. So I was surprised that nobody had told the story.
And these women were first hired by Harvard Observatory director Edward Charles Pickering. Tell us about him. What kind of a man was he?
He was wonderfully broad-minded. He really believed in giving women a chance to do things at a time when there were very few opportunities for women's work, and even the question of higher education for women was very controversial. There had been a book in the 1870s that said that college would actually cause a girl's reproductive organs to atrophy. And Pickering thought that was ridiculous. He not only hired women, but he also invited the alumni of the new women's colleges to contribute to his projects, to make their own observations, send him the results. It was a very savvy move because he had an enormous amount of data to analyze, and that's what he hired the women to do. They were given glass plate photographs that were taken at the observatory all through the night, every night, and they had to look at these pictures, to map the stars, to study the composition of the stars, and create a classification system. And because women worked for lower salary, he could hire more people.
So they would come in the morning, and there'd be these stacks of glass plates, and they would have the painstaking job of going through them, examining these plates for hours at a time, correct?
Yes. And it seems so antiquated. Yeah. But right now, there's a citizen science project that is inviting people to help look for a possible new ninth planet in our solar system. And it's that same kind of work. You sit in front of your own laptop, but you look at gazillions of tiny dots and try to see something that's different.
It wasn't until 1956 that a woman was granted full tenure at Harvard, became a full professor, Cecilia Payne Gaposchkin. Tell me about her.
Cecilia Payne came to the observatory as a graduate student. After Pickering died, the new director wanted to create a graduate-level program in astronomy, which Harvard had never had. So the new director needed graduate fellowship money, and the only money he had was money specifically earmarked for young women to come and work a year at the observatory. And so the whole first crop of graduate students were all female. And Cecilia Payne became the first person, not just the first woman, to earn a Harvard PhD in astronomy. And she stayed on at the observatory her whole life.
At the time these women were doing this groundbreaking work, the state of astronomy was pretty young. The composition of stars was thought to be similar to that of the planets. How did their work contribute to our understanding of the universe?
They were able, by looking at photographs that recorded the spectra of the stars, not just points of light, but strips of starlight that actually betrayed the chemical composition of the stars. And they used that to create a classification system. Miss Payne was the first one to really look at the relative quantities, because it was true that the stars contained many of the same elements we have on Earth. But what she noticed was that the abundance of hydrogen and helium was out of proportion to everything else. And this seemed radical. And she was advised not to make too much of that in her dissertation. But she had brought it to the attention of other astronomers who looked into it seriously. And it took only 4 years for everyone to come round and say, you know what, it really is mostly hydrogen.
Some of their insights are still used today by astronomers.
Yes. Miss Leavitt, whose name I first learned in the group, came up with a way to measure distance in space. You know, when we look up at the sky, it's very hard to tell what is bright because it's close, or is it bright because it's really far away, but extremely bright. And she made a discovery that was translated into a yardstick that is still in use today.
You don't look at their history through a contemporary lens, per se, but what does your book tell us about current struggles of women in science?
This story put women in the observatory where they have remained. And contemporary accounts, or more contemporary accounts, such as the Women of Hidden Figures, I don't think NASA would have been hiring all those women if it hadn't been for the Harvard women. They not only worked at Harvard, but there were quite a few who came through Harvard on fellowships. So they had a support, financial support, for 1 year to work in the Harvard Observatory. But then they went to work at another observatory. So they gradually infiltrated the entire astronomy community. And their work had been recognized, valued, accepted by astronomers all over the world. So they set a precedent. I like to think they were the great-grandmothers of the Hidden Figures and the Rocket Girls at JPL.
Deva Sobel, her book is The Glass Universe. Deva, thank you for speaking with us.
Oh, thank you so much.